This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today.
In this episode, we're presenting a repeat of Gaia and Bill talking about thriving amidst adversity, what to do when people turn against us.
Bill, here we are again, another podcast with you. It's good to have you.
Gaia, it's great to see you again too. Thank you so much for allowing me to join you.
We had a few podcasts, thriving amidst adversities. So here we have another theme, and this time we will talk about some of the adversities from people. You know, not about sales, not about factories closing down, but people. So, you know, entering into the kingdom, you mention we are not entering a kingdom of blue skies, singing angels, but entering the kingdom which is at war. I like the picture you picture from Psalm 23. Can you share how you view yourself in this kingdom?
Sure, Gaia. Happy to do that. This is actually a very interesting picture, and I did spend a bit of time trying to sort of flesh it out and thinking through more of what does it mean when David particularly is the one who writes this. So the passage that we're referring to is found in Psalm 23, and it's actually a passage that's often overlooked.
Can you share what is the passage about?
Sure. It's the one where the Lord says, or David, writer of the psalm, says that of the Lord, He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And the reason I find this is often overlooked is that we, in the U.S. at least, we don't have a good understanding of the conflict that we're born into. And the scripture says that we've been transferred from a kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. If you think about that, then you realize, oh, there's these two kingdoms. I wonder if there's not conflict between them.
But then it's often interpreted as, okay, I came of this kingdom of darkness where it was all difficult and hard, and now I'm into the kingdom of light where it's everything light and sunny and wonderful. And when things are not wonderful, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I don't have faith enough. So you don't perceive it this way.
I don't perceive it that way, and the fruit of that kind of thinking is often incredible depression when things don't work out right, because you don't know how to interpret it. You think you're probably the failure, or what's often happening is the enemy is speaking to you, giving you impressions that they want you to believe, and if they can get you to believe those things, like, well, you're just a big failure, then you're going to give up on the kingdom, and they've taken you out.
Well, he is the great, you know, the one who is accusing us, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the main things that the enemy will do is he make these accusations against us. And if we don't have filters up to understand when it's coming from him and when we reject it, we'll often believe what we hear that are simply lies. But let's go back to the Psalm 23 passage and begin to develop it just a little bit further, a little bit deeper. So I want to remind everyone that the writer of this psalm knows more about sheep and the enemies of sheep than probably anybody who ever wrote about it. So as the writer, David, we know actually encountered the enemies of sheep, lions, bears, he encountered them in such a strange way that I'm sure I would never have done it that way. He writes about this was training for him before he actually encountered Goliath. And he said, okay, when he saw Goliath, he goes, I know how this works. Just kind of let me alone, get out of my way. I can do this. I can take this down. And it's because he had a history of destroying the enemies of his flock. And one was a lion. And the story that he recounted is that the lion came and took a lamb and ran away with it. And I would have thought, well, you lose one. That's not such a big deal. I would just let it go is probably my natural response. But David said, no, I ran after it and I got it. I tracked it down or I ran it down and I killed it with my bare hands and I saved the lamb.
He's a bit more brave than it's I am.
Now, I would like our audience to take just a moment and sort of flesh that out with sounds and smells and snarls and claws and teeth and fur. And this was a horrifying experience, actually. But he did it. And he did it more than once. And apparently he did it with other animals like bears as well. So when he says, my life is like the good shepherd, who's truly a good shepherd, he prepared a table for me. And so if you're a lamb, let's think of a kind of blanket filled with great grass on it or something that lambs would like. And so you're the lamb. You're on this blanket. You've got good food in front of you. The good shepherd's just nearby. But then you glance over to the right, and about 7 or 8 feet away is a lion. And it appears as though there's some kind of a protective circle that doesn't let him jump right on you, but he's close.
You hear him.
You hear him. And you think through, I know what this lion can do. I've seen him do it. This is actually like DEFCON 5. You know, this is a high alert situation. And then another one and another one. And they're sort of circling. They're close, but you're still safe if you stay on the blanket.
But, you know, this Psalm 23, I recited it for my grandparents when they had their 50th wedding anniversary when I was really young. But I remember it as a really beautiful, peaceful, you kind of spoil it.
Okay, I would agree that I spoil our misconception of it. I believe that happened to me as well, because I had a kind of filter over anything that dealt with spiritual warfare, and I didn't see it. The scriptures are filled with verses like this, but if we don't have the category to put the thought into, we simply don't see the verse. We don't see what's actually said there.
So here we are, mm-hmm. sitting on this blanket,
right,
with lions around mm-hmm. us. So have you been attacked by one of those lions in your life, Bill?
I had an experience early in our history in China, about a year into it, in which my first employee had...
Your first employee?
Yeah. This is when I knew I couldn't do very good at HR and hiring, and I've never hired a person since then. I've always had my staff hire people. But my first employee turned against us, and I discovered this when I hired another man who was just this marvelous believer and a wonderful friend. And the first day at work, he saw this other guy was there, and he said, what is he doing here? And I said proudly, oh, he's our general manager. And the new employee, who was a genuine trusted believer, smart guy, had spent 22 years in prison for being a believer, so he was, you know, well tested. He really knew how to understand the world. And he said, no, this guy he's not a believer. This is bad. I said, well, should we fire him? And he said, no, he'll kill you if you do that.
Oh.
And I didn't have a category for that either. I've never been in a situation where I had that kind of imminent danger. So I said, well, what do we do? And he said, now we pray. And I felt like I was being tutored by a much wiser brother. And so we prayed. And about 3 months later, this gentleman had made a purchase of some items that I told him not to purchase. And so I just said to him, you did this badly. I was scared to death of the guy. And the next day I got a phone call, which I remember vividly. And he goes, now we are enemies and we must fight. I will kill your children and then your wife, and then I'll kill you. And if I die, it doesn't matter.
So you went and got a gun.
I entered maybe the least spiritual day of my existence. I panicked. I did not act at all in great confidence and have a great spiritual response. I freaked out. And so I ran home and told my wife what was going on and then got the children out of public school because I thought the guy was going there with a gun. Mm-hmm. And then we went and hid out in a hotel for 3 days. And during that time, I went back to the Lord and I said, excuse me, but I need an answer. Are we where we belong or not? If we're not, I'm out of here. I will never put my children at risk unless you tell me that it's safe and we're where we belong. And he said immediately, you're okay. You're fine. You're safe. I'll protect you. Nothing will happen. And so I sort of processed that. And in a day or two, I gained my confidence. We talked to my family and we decided to stay.
So here you've felt the breath of this lion.
Yes.
It scared you. And you went back to the Lord. You felt assured, hey, I still have this protective circle around you.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Are there any lessons in this that you want to share?
That's a great question, Gay. And yes, there's one particular sort of a summary picture that I saw. The Lord was asking me about the curriculum of the Great Commission. You know, we're told to go make disciples of all nations, and there's two things you do. You baptize and you teach. But when I saw the word teach, I didn't read the rest of the sentence. I just thought, teach the Bible. I came out of a Bible teaching background, and that's sort of the answer to everything. But that's not what he said. He said, teach them to obey all I have commanded you. And so I realized that would be a list of commands. I have no idea what they are. How can I be in this for 2 or 3 decades and not know that list? This is like very embarrassing. And so I started looking for them, and I found the greatest deposit of those commands is in the Sermon on the Mount. And they're just out there one by one by one.
Well, for our listeners, share some of them.
Bless those who curse you. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Now, I had an enemy, and I wasn't about to love him. Judge not that you be not judged. No, I was judging this guy. I felt that was my job because he was wrong for threatening our lives, and he needed judgment. And I felt like this is righteousness. This is the right thing to do. But I got a bit tired at it. I wasn't very good at it. And then the Lord showed me more about his scripture, those particular passages. And I wrote them out, and I found them to be very, 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 very useful because they're sort of the step-by-step response that we should have to many of the things that we encounter. But without knowing the right response, we sort of fall for false responses. In this case, he gave me a vision where I was judging this guy, and it was like a boxing ring, but it was a ring for tag team wrestlers. And Jesus and I were on the same team, but I was inside the ring wrestling with this guy. And on the outside of the ring was the word judgment. It was the ring of judgment. And I thought, well, he needs to be judged. And this wasn't the only time I found myself in this vision with people. And so I was getting really, really tired. And the reality was I was fearful because I didn't know when this guy might strike and it could happen at any time. And so I was nervous and somewhat fearful, but I was mad at him. I did not like him sort of disturbing my world. And so when I saw this vision, I realized that the Lord was in, he was my partner, and he was asking me to tag him in so I could get out of the ring of judgment, and he would get in and judge the person. And when I realized that this guy would go under judgment if I didn't judge him myself, that was a huge turning point.
So you mean you have to let go of judgment for God to come into the ring? So you have to let go?
Yeah, he said you need to tag me out. So the rules in tag team wrestling is the tired guy on the inside needs to go touch the guy's hand who's got another hand on the corner, and then you can get in. So he said, the tag is, I want you to love this guy. And so I'm thinking, okay, you're not making this easy, are you? So I don't need to just quit judging him. I actually need to love him. That was kind of the command. Now, he brought this home many years later. I was at a stoplight, and it was red, and they had these counters there where you could see the numbers. It was like 26 or 27, 25, 24. He rode up behind my car on a bicycle, so I could see and recognize him in the rearview mirror, but he didn't recognize me, you know, which is just sitting there, 23, 22. And then when the light turned green and I went through, I felt I was not all upset that I was in his presence like I had been before.
So you really felt like, well, I'm getting free of this.
Exactly. Yes. I said, oh, Lord, this is so much better. Thank you. You know, we're really making progress. And the Lord immediately countered with, that's not my standard. My standard is you love this guy. And I thought, dang, I just read that. You're serious. He says, yes, I'm actually very serious about that. And so what began as, you know, a really intentional danger to me, he turned in to just a great lesson on doing what he said to do.
So this is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And this is the course we've developed on what are mindsets to help us thrive.
Right.
It's the adversity, mm-hmm. but it's about aligning with him.
Exactly.
And then freedom can flow, love can flow.
Yeah, that's a great word, Gaia, because you do feel like you're thriving when you go through an experience like this. But by obeying what he said to do in him and with him, through him, all of it kind of coming from him, you find yourself free from fear of it or anger or, you know, any of those emotions that were clouding things earlier. You realize, oh, by loving him, I actually disconnect from all the negatives that could have attached me. Bitterness, resentment, feeling like the Lord failed me by not protecting me, and all those sorts of things.
I can see that is what thriving looks like, right? Mm-hmm. To be, wow, I'm not imprisoned by this situation.
Good words. That's right.
Let's get back to this blanket. You know, we are sitting on this blanket. We are now aware that there might be these lions, but you kind of expect bears and lions to act, mm-hmm. to attack.
Right.
But, you know, I have heard sometimes about situations that here we are on this blanket, and there's this fellow sheep who seems to have teeth too. Have you ever expected or experienced something like that?
I suspect everyone in our audience has also experienced something like this. But you're getting at a very important point. It's sort of understandable if it's a true enemy of the gospel. But if it's one of our allies, that is a bit surprising. But it happens quite often. And so, again, we turn to the commands and see what he has to say about that. And basically you get the same kind of commands. Love your enemy or bless those who persecute you. So in my case, there was a situation that lasted for about 5 years. And it involved a person who was in the company, but he sort of exceeded his authority, you know, literally by kicking me out of my office.
How come he could kick you out of the office? What was the situation?
I don't know. Well, the situation was that I was out of town, and I can only surmise that he wanted the authority or the position. He probably felt insecure. And so when I was gone, he moved into my office and emptied out my desk and put all my stuff in a cardboard box and settled into the office of the president, even though he wasn't the president of this company.
This was a situation that there was another possible buyer, right, for your business. and they put in this person.
That's correct. So the plan was for me to sell my shares of the company as soon as we agreed on a price. And so the other people that wanted to buy my shares said, while we're negotiating, can we put in a manager so that we're all set when you depart? And I said, sure, that makes a lot of sense.
So that was this manager. And here, this manager was even a, he was a background as a missionary, wasn't he?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was wonderful to have a missionary.
Right. So.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
Well, it turned out to be a surprise to everybody, I think, because we thought it would be 2 or 3 weeks that we'd finished negotiation and I'd be gone. But it turned into about a 5-year stalemate, primarily because we couldn't agree on a fair price.
So this man, how do you deal with that, Bill?
I think in the better part of it, and I would say some days better than others, but primarily I just left him in the Lord's hands. And I didn't want to contest his sort of desire for recognition, which was the way I sort of interpreted this.
And he was running the factory?
Yes, he was the operational person over the factory. In reality, he didn't know much about the technology. And so the staff were running things just the way they had always been running things.
How do you deal with that?
I had to sacrifice my sense of identity. And I didn't want to defend myself. And I didn't want to, you know, make a big fight out of it. Because I had authority to fire him and get rid of him. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't think that was what the Lord wanted at the time. So I kind of avoided him and stayed out of the way and just let him have the space other than my office. I did move him out and move back into my office. But other than that, I just tried to leave him alone. And I felt like there was such tension between us that it would affect the church. And so I ended up not going to the church anymore.
So this kind of, is this avoidance of conflict?
Definitely. But whether or not it was the right or wrong thing. And I think some of the commands in Scripture, you know, do seem to lean in that direction. Like bless those who curse you, love those who are your enemies, who are against you. Do good to them. So I felt like it was a way to do good to those.
So again, here you feel like this was someone put in your life for you to learn to thrive when there is a brother who there is no, you know, there's tension, but to bless, to love.
Right.
How do you bless and love? What did you do?
I guess I didn't try to oppose him. And I knew that the fellowship in town was important to him and his family, but also that there was a fair amount of tension between us and that it would probably be impossible to hide that. And so I opted to not be a part of the fellowship so he could have that for his, you know, benefit, enjoyment and stuff. And not to say anything about what was going on, not to make it an issue. And instead, I would, on Sunday mornings, I would just travel to the outside of the house churches that I knew of and just pray for blessing for them. And so I ended up really having a much better experience in a lot of ways by just being able to pray for the many of the other local friends that I had who were meeting at that time.
So similar to the enemy, this, your fellow sheep, bless, release, let go, and grow in that area?
Right. I wouldn't say that I had the same, great experience with the other person. I knew that I was doing the right thing and it felt, you know, freeing. This didn't have that same ring to it, but I also felt like I was sort of sidestepping what could have been a real disastrous, relationship. And I wasn't trying to oppose him, but I also couldn't surrender the authority and the role I had as the leader of my company.
So how was it solved in the end? Or how did you feel it dissolved?
Well, we finally did get to a mediation or to a Yes, it was a mediation event with a mediator between me and then the other owners to try to find a resolution. And in that evening or that afternoon, they made an offer which was too low. I couldn't accept it. And then the Lord said to flip it. And I said, flip it? Flip what? He says, flip it. And I realized he was saying, okay, flip the offer. So they offered me a certain amount for my 40%. I took the same ratio and offered them the same ratio amount for their 60% to buy them out. And they took it. And then I said, and I want to use the company money to pay them with. So we did that. So at the end of one day, the company was 100% mine, didn't cost me a penny. We'd lost some cash from the company, but we still had plenty of cash left. And we were cash positive every day after that. And then the gentleman that was had been hired by them was no longer relevant because they were no longer part of the picture. He was hired by their U.S. company. And so when they were out of the picture legally, so he was.
Mm-hmm. So without a big fight, without and you gaining some muscle in letting go.
Right.
And blessing.
Yep.
And forgiving and finding other ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I hold nothing against any of the folks that I end up being in opposition with. I'm assuming that I'm used by the enemy at times as well. It's just as simple as if we don't always have our filters up, we'll often be used. Peter was used by the enemy when he tried to get Jesus to not go to the cross. And he said, oh, get behind me, Satan. So that's something that's relatively common, I think, and certainly we're all susceptible to it.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill, in closing, what would you share with our...
I think thriving in this kind of difficulty requires that we are very honest about the situation that we're in. And Psalm 23 presents us with a very honest picture of that reality, that we're simply not yet at a time when there's no tension and no attack and no enemies. We are still in a time of warfare. There's two kingdoms in a great clash. And we now have chosen to be in the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And he will be resisted as he's always been resisted. So number one, don't be surprised at that. Number two, go to him for the victory that you need, for the protection. If you stay on the table, I think of it like a blanket with the grass on it. If you stay where he's called you to, you'll be fine. He will protect you. He will be your defender. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to attack anyone. And then go to Psalm or go to the Sermon on the Mount and get familiar with the commands. Things like be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Those are incredible commands. Really challenging. But when we actually take them seriously, we will find they guide us through all of these sorts of relationships.
Well, thank you. It was another inspiring time to talk with you.
Thank you, Gaia. It's been great to be with you.
This was Gaia Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoves.com and check out the course on kingdom mindsets for business, life, and work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.